Black, stop playing with him.
Sauce Talk. It's the first time I'm doing an episode live on TikTok. Sauce Talk. This is my 60-second episode. First one I'm doing on TikTok. What a night in boxing. What a night of boxing last night. Mainly in the state of California, as Devin Haney, you know, when people like to say being put on notice, there's a lot of people that will say that Devin Haney put boxing, mainly the 140-pound division, or notice, possibly putting 147-pounders on notice. Boots, you know. I mean, I think you could say, what, Santillion? I mean, Virgil Ortiz, he's moving up to 154, but, you know, you're not going to say Bud Crawford. Unless it's really interesting, you know what I'm saying? Errol Spence supposed to be moving up. So, Keith Thurman, you know? But Devin Haney gets the victory over Regis Prograis. WBC, what, light welterweight, super lightweight, whatever you want to call it. He was the champ. He had the green belt. He was selected. And that's the something, that's the key thing that Devin Haney was telling Regis Prograis, that I selected you. I selected you. Like, I picked you. And that was very telling. I picked you to win this belt so I can sit there and, you know, move on. He didn't pick Teofimo, but I'm not even going to start there. But we're going to start with Amari Jones getting a knockout victory when the house ain't full. You know, like I said, I was keeping my eye on Amari Jones from the Devin Haney TV, the All Access type thing they were doing. Devin Haney did an excellent job with his YouTube with the All Access leading up to this fight. Regis Prograis had one too. That was very nice. But Amari Jones was somebody that I was definitely wanting to see. And he put on a good performance. The guy he fought, which is crazy. I think Amari made like $8,000. And I think the dude that he fought only made $800. It's crazy. Real talk. He made $800. I think Amari Jones made $8,000, which is crazy. Not a typo. Made $800 to get knocked out real quick. You know, I put a ticket in and I had, you know, Ebony Bridges. Ebony Bridges hasn't, you know, she's been doing her, you know, her marketing thing. She's been real marketable in 2023. And it's not all about using her fist. Other things. Smile. I wasn't going there. And she is a hell of a fighter. But I think sometimes, you know, venturing in other things, sometimes not, you know, putting it all in as far as the time, you know, the commitment into the sport, you can enter in a rough spot. A rough spot in fighting somebody that's hungry, that is, you know, coming off of some losses. Yoshida was that person. Was that person that was, you know, having a rough time at 35 years old. That's kind of, and here's the interesting thing about boxing, female boxing, women's boxing, is that hitting about 34, 35 years old is actually hitting a prime. Not realizing that around that age, you're hitting a lot of real, I mean, like, I'm talking about elite boxing on the women's side, you know, really shows when they get about 34, 35 years old. And Yoshida was bringing, like, clean, effective punching, landing the overhand right. She was beating Ebony Bridges to the punch. Ebony Bridges couldn't get out of the way of the right hand. The left uppercut, the right uppercut, the left hook, the right hook. She was hitting her with everything. She was going to the body. You know, Ebony did a good job going to the body. She tried to put it together, but taking shots, taking hard, you know, punches, you know, it negates, you know, the little bit of offense that she was putting together. And she was just getting beat to the punch. She got beat first every time to the punch. And that was the big time problem for Ebony Bridges. And, you know, just a wipeout of a fight. When it got to about like the seventh, I think when it got to about the seventh, eighth round, when they showed Mannix's scorecard, it was, like I said, it was a total wipeout. So, I mean, with the scorecards coming out, this unanimous decision, I said, oh, boy. If they said Ebony Bridges' name, I would have been happy because of my ticket. But, man, that would have been bad for boxing. Because I believe I heard a score, 99-91 score. I mean, it was bad. It was bad. I want to sit there and talk about Rafa Espinoza. Now, Rafa Espinoza Hold on a second here. Rafa Espinoza, Divino, upsets Robisi Ramirez in a fight that went kind of like how, let's be real here. I sit there. And I was sitting there, I was, you know, lightweight playing, but I was serious about to somebody. Long style fighters that hover around that 126, 130, 135, you know, 140. Those long, that's why Udongo was always in the mix of 140, even though he couldn't fight. Long fighters like that present a problem. You know, those guys are durable, man. Those guys are rangy. You can't find your range. A lot of times those fighters that are in those weight classes are shorter reach. It presents a problem. Paul Williams, you know, Margarito, think of that fight. Espinoza, you know, got knocked down pretty hard. And he said he fractured his foot. But, he adrenaline and everything else, you know, pushed him through. But took a hard knockdown from a nice right hand from Robisi. Robisi just could not really find that range to finish him. Put a lot out. He put a lot. He exerted himself a lot. And I think through the course of the fight, Espinoza started to pick up momentum and started to pick up confidence and started putting things together as the troubles of finding range. And then here comes another knockdown. And then it's like, okay, Robisi's going to win this fight. But no, that's not what's going to happen. Rafa Espinoza, Divino, puts it together one more time as he was winning rounds and gets a knockdown in the last round. And that put him in majority to win that fight. Kind of wish Deontay Wilder would have got that with Tyson Fury. But he couldn't put rounds together to win rounds after the knockdown. See, that's the difference. Espinoza started to win rounds as Robinson started to fade. Sometimes going for the finish, if you don't get it, sometimes it can come back and bite you in your ass. I think people out there are experienced fight night players that play online and stuff like that know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's just, it's boxing, man. It's the game of, it's the sport of boxing. Point blank, period. It's the sport of boxing. You have to worry about scoring points. You have to worry about winning the fight. If a knockdown comes, it comes. But whenever you are, you know, you got to think about this. Robinson Ramirez, you know, this is his first main event. This is top ranked ESPN, his main event. He's the headline. You know, he got to fight Dogbo. I don't believe that was a main event fight, if I'm not mistaken. He fought, you know, on the undercard for Inoue earlier in this year. He's been through a lot, even dealing with his home country, Cuba, and not seeing his family. All that, they put all that together for Robinson Ramirez. This was his night last night. That was Saturday night was Robinson night. But he was going up against a 23-0 long, rangy, tough, and he's got things. He's looking at it like he's got a story too, and that's the beauty of boxing, man. Everybody's got a story. You know, you look at the main event over on the DAZN with Regis and Devin. I mean, both had a story. You know, one with, you know, of, I would say, for the challenger who now is champion, had a dream, and that's what his nickname is. Dad carried out dream, put it in motion, hard work. Some people call it a silver spoon. And then you go on the other side. You got somebody who, you know, looks at it as like coming from the mud, as he like to say, and happened to, you know, fight a bunch of Antoine Andersons. You know, pro fights where maybe not get paid. You know, so both sides had it different. Both had unique stories. Both got great stories. Nothing, you know. But if you look at the story, like, say, Yoshida, even, beating Ebony Bridges. But Rafa Espinoza said, man, the hell with all that. You know, I got my story, too. And he put his foot on the pedal, and he got the win. And now he is the new champ at 126 pounds. That's just big time, man. And, you know, every fight he's had has been by stoppage, and now he can sit there and say that I got a big time decision victory. I got a big time victory come from behind. I mean, that's big time to go on the resume. Robinson Ramirez and what he's been able to fast track do, and you know, looking at his record. Robinson goes down. And to sit there and talk about Andy Cruz, man, forgot to talk about Andy Cruz on the TikTok that I did, but Andy Cruz, another good performance out there from somebody. Second pro fight, Eddie Hearn went crazy. You know, Eddie Hearn jumped on Keyshawn Davis's live. I mean, Eddie Hearn was like, look, I gotta talk, you know, cause Andy Cruz don't talk no English, man. He gonna have to get on that. You know, he does all the dances and stuff. He got to get on the English. You know, he could be a real big star over here in the States. And, you know, for the sport of boxing, we in the lightweight division with the Sharks. You know what I'm saying? You think The lightweight division is crazy, man. When he comes up, it's crazier. He's 28 years old. He's on the fast track, man. You know, he don't want to get 33 years old. Still ain't had a big championship fight. So they're trying to get him. He stayed amateur too long. I mean, he's beat Keyshawn Davis in the amateurs. He's gave, you know, all these guys that we talk about in the lightweight division problems. Serious problems. Now, he's got, like, what, 5-8 amateur losses, so he can be beat. But he is really good. He's really sharp and really, really skilled. He's 28. He's in the real height of his career. He's ready to fight the top guys and really show what he got. And, you know, at a real quick time, he don't got no time to try to get the 28-0, 30-0 to try to, you know, get a title fight. He wants it now. He wants it at 5-0, 6-0, everywhere. He's going to get it. He wants it. And he put it together. I mean, the movement. He looked like Lomachenko with some of the footwork. But the punches is just, you know, way more menacing. I mean, like, the uppercut was nice. He landed 6 in a row. He landed a straight right hand. He landed the left hook, the right hook. The way he put things together was real special. Real special. And, you know, what was it? They said Andy Cruz. They said Andy Cruz, and I tweeted this, but I said, you know, Eddie Hearn said the right names at the end of that fight, at the post-fight interview. Keyshawn Davis, Frank Martin. He didn't say Tank. He didn't say, you know, he didn't, now, he didn't say those names, but he said Keyshawn Davis, Frank Martin. But from what I see from Andy Cruz, what he puts together is that he could probably deal with Shakur. Shoot, Ryan Garcia. I mean, he could outbox Tank. Because, see, here's the thing. Tank has got that left hand. That's the difference. That we've seen Tank get outboxed. We've seen him being in trouble with spots getting outboxed. But the difference is of him being in a position of losing a fight, he don't got bad feet. The quickness is top-notch. And he's going to catch you. That is Tank Davis all in a nutshell right there. I mean, like, he can make mistakes, but it's just like I've seen him in fights where people can outbox him or win rounds. He's not a person that's just going to just beat you winning rounds and stuff unless you just don't have it. But I've seen Santa Cruz, you know, I've seen weirdly, you know, a little bit of Gamboa a little bit there had a couple of good, it just some rounds where you can sit there and say, man, what's going on? Like, what's happening? I mean, Rowley hit him a few times and I'm like, Rowley? And then we say, what happens? Like, Rowley? Which Rowley at 140 pounds, I bet he would run 20 miles away from Devin Haney. Wouldn't fight no Devin Haney. Rowley wouldn't fight no Devin Haney, I tell you that. But yeah, Andy Cruz, 2-0 as a pro. Second pro fight, gets a stoppage. He said he wanted to sit down on his punches. He wanted to show people that he can fight. He's been training with boots. That's the crazy thing. He's been training with boots in his camp. I don't know if he is full time, but I know he did at a point to where he was like, they were chilling. Like they were like in the same fight camp and training together. So I mean, like he's getting around some people that can put it together to stop some people. That man trains with boots, man. Man, that jab, I mean, the jab, the right, the straight right, the left hook, like I said, the uppercut, like I said, he could put, it's scary how he can box and evade, make you miss, and then ping, I mean, the move, like he did a move, it was beautiful how he took a step back, thought, you know, he made his opponent think, reset, step forward, boom, right hand. I mean, stuff like that, that's boxing, man. Like, you don't understand, like, how it's a total mind game of, like, how you want a fighter to think that you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, he took a step back, he kind of reset, and it was just, like, a sudden, you know, quick step forward, ping, right hand. You know what I'm saying? Takes the right hand, goes straight to the body. Goes to the body. Uppercut. You know what I'm saying? Like, stuff like that, man. It's just beautiful boxing, man. Andy Cruz definitely could put on. So, I mean, him in the future fighting a Frank Martin. I think Frank Martin could really put on a good fight. He's got a great jab. Really, really good jab. So, I think that would be a good fight. Keyshawn Davis, man. Hey, for him to be sitting there talking all that shit, I mean, he talked shit after losing to him. Kevin Hart, Shaq had fun with that. I mean, Snoop had fun with that. But he's going to have to get his mind right and understand that in a pro fight, Andy Cruz probably could get you. He probably could get you in a pro fight as well. Eddie Hearn jumped on the live and was like, hey, we can get it on the popping. He is like, this is my new Anthony Joshua. I'm putting this boy out here. Eddie Hearn hopping on the live during the pay-per-view. It's crazy. Devin Haney comes out wearing a modern millennial bubble coat. You know what I'm saying? The North Face or the South Pole, the big bubble coats that wore back then, man. He wore like the modern, he wore that modern shit. That old big bubble coat. I don't know what that was, man. I don't know what that was. That was crazy. A big bubble coat. That was, like I said, today's fashion is so different, man. It's so different. You got. It's a lot of things that it was talked about even before this fight. Even, I mean, with what's going on in today's, you know, fashion that, you know, men are doing, even like, you know, painting your fingernails, you know, and that's the thing about, like, people debated or whatever, like nobody's sitting there saying that you can't do that or it's wrong to do that, whatever, or nobody's sitting there saying that it's wrong for men getting manicures or whatever, but it's like, it's just weird to see painting color on fingernails. But it's just a thing that's happening now. I mean, fighters are doing it. Rappers are doing it. Singers are doing it. It's today. Weird shit. But he comes out. Devin Haney, the challenger, comes out first. Gets called the undisputed lightweight champion. That he, you know, is looking like he's going to be relinquishing. I mean, like, he's been there, done that. 140, 147, looks like. It's not coming back. There's no coming back. Shakur, he should have took the 25%. Damn it, man. Who knew? Who knew that he was going to do this? You turn down the 25% thinking like, man, I go on. If I impress some people. You know, I go impress some people. Might get a better percentage. Now you're going to have to chase him and impress people. And after your last fight, you ran from a hard puncher. So if you move up, you're going to face more hard punching. It's worrisome. It's valid to say that. It's valid. Very valid. Very valid to say that it's going to be worrisome. You know, it's like, that is real shit right there, man. Like, when Floyd moved up and was moving up the ladder, he fought the likes of everybody at 135 that he could. You know, the Angel Man Freddy's, the dancing, I forgot his damn name, Emmanuel, Gustus Emmanuel, whatever his name, you know, then moving up to fighting Chop Chop Corley, then fighting the Toro Gotti, you know what I'm saying? Like, all these steps you take till you get to that big, big fight. I mean, who's to say he ain't looking at Terrence Crawford, you know, build a big profile to say, hey, man, I'm ready for Terrence Crawford. Terrence Crawford ain't moved up to 154 yet. I mean, it's time to just do something like what Bill Haney said last night in the post-conference, is saying that Devin is doing something for the culture, you know, doing something for boxing other than what Tank Davis is doing. And that is fighting insignificant guys. It's fighting guys that's needs to be coming up instead of moving up, which Tank did move up and fought Barrios, who still is a good win on the resume, even though the resume of Haney may be better, but he fought Barrios. Barrios beat Ugas at 147. Tank knocked him across the ring like it was a god dog, a feather flying off of a bird. So that is there. But, you know, Bill Haney is trying to shift the narrative and sitting there saying that what Devin is doing is way more pure than what Tank is doing. That what Tank and his team and what he's trying to say about Devin Haney about being manufactured and all this stuff like that, that's the bullshit. That's what is being said. That is what is being said, man. That is the, you know, the knowledge of somebody that's trying to take their son up. It's a good thing because what he's done, different gyms, taking him to Mexico, taking him to Puerto Rico, taking him all this stuff, going here, you know what I'm saying? But now he's able to sit there and got DHP, Devin Haney Promotions, fighting his hometown, sold it out, had to extend the seating. I mean, the pop coming out sounded like some WWE shit, sounded like CM Punk in Survivor Series. When he came out, when they was announcing Devin Haney, 19,000 people went lost their fucking minds in there, man. That was a pop. Regis came out there with the Rougarou outfit on, you know, bringing that New Orleans vibe, the voodoo vibe. It was looking serious. It was looking serious. But here's the thing. Here's the difference. Regis Progray, the champion, got to come out second. Got all the boos. But did not read. I mean, you, okay. In boxing, here's the thing: when you look at being a champion, you got to look at yourself as a challenger. When somebody is moving up in a weight that has a better resume, that has all the popularity, undefeated, you didn't need to come out there the first two rounds acting like you're undefeated and all that stuff that I just said. Regis Progray came out the first two rounds like he was the man. Like, you know. No. You knew all that stuff before the fight that you were the underdog. That people were already counting you out. Even your own home state, Louisiana, was like, man, he ain't even from here. It was people calling in on other podcasts and saying, he ain't even from New Orleans, man. Talk about he from East Side, East Side this, East Side. He ain't even from where he at. Where he from? He moved to Texas. He ran from Katrina. They got people say he ran from Katrina, even though that might have been a smart thing to do. I mean, come on, Louisiana. That's sad y'all did your boy like that. But that's how he came out, was just too, I'm the champ. And that's a bad way to start when you knowing that you don't have the, that you went better. Things was going to have to be different. You watched Josh Taylor, Teofimo Lopez. You saw a 135 pounder come up and whoop a 140 pounder's ass like it wasn't nothing because he beat you. They're like, damn, Josh Taylor beat me. It was a hard ass fight. It was like fight of the year talk. And he got outclassed by Teofimo. Thinking, I'm the champ. He coming up to my shit. First fight in America. Got his ass whooped. I've been saying it for years that 126, 130, 135, 140 are stepping stones. It's nothing to make a home. So those fighters that think that, you know, I'm the shit, I'm undisputed, I got two, three belts. What did he say on Pineapple Express? You're fighting the Snickle Fritz. You're not fighting the top shit until the top shit is passing through. Like the minor leagues of baseball, like Bryce Harper or somebody like that. Like Aaron Judge. You know, Andy Cruz like Ohtani. They're not going to, you know, you're seeing how he's 1-0 fighting somebody that was 25-6, you know. You know, he's not fighting like the Regis guys. He's not fighting the guys that Devin fought coming up like the, you know, the 8-0s or the, you know, the Devin fought some guys that have some good records, but they have, may have not have fought. You know, they putting Andy Cruz in a fast track. But this 130, this 126 to 140 range, man, you got to understand, this is a stepping stone. It's steps. You take steps. Floyd wasn't staying there long. Shane Mosley wasn't staying long. Oscar De La Hoya wasn't staying there long. Pernell Whitaker wasn't staying there long. Manny Pacquiao. You don't stay there. You get some significant wins, or you get some wins, you keep moving up. That's what they're trying to say about Tank. They're like, okay, you fight at 140 once. Are you staying at 135? What you doing? Are you, you know, his next fight date should be something big. I think the pressure is on Tank to get, not Esau Cruz, you know, not that. Not that. That should be out. You already won that fight. Fuck that. That what you made him, because his last fight wasn't impressive and he won. No. No, no, no. No, I don't want to see no Esau Cruz versus Tank Davis. We just seen Tank run over the pit bull. No. It needs to be big now. Because depending on what Devin Haney does next, Teofimo does. We already seen what IBF, Sabril Matias, turns down a fight with Teofimo. It's like, what? Your trainer was just talking to Bill Haney trying to get a fight with him. You turned down Teofimo? Come on, man. You got an IBF at 31 years old. Put up or shut up. I mean, that's the type of bullshit. I mean, that's the type of stuff that you got to understand. When it comes to boxing and you are a title holder, especially in IBF, man, whatever, if you feel like you lowballed, man, swallow your pride, man. Take the fight. Take the fight. You're going to get left in the dust. You'll be 33, 34 years old and still ain't had a big title fight. They still ain't had a big fight. And here you putting people in the hospital. You making people stop with the stool. You knocking people plumb out. But who? Because you're not going to get the big opportunities to get that chance. You're not undefeated. And we're talking about Sabril Matias. Unbelievable. Turns down a fight with Teofimo Lopez, which we've just seen where Devin Haney did the Regis Prograis. I mean, I'm talking about put it 2-1-2s, uppercuts. I mean, put it to him. knocked him down early. I didn't see that coming. Knocked him down early. Big right hand. Put him down. Did him dirty. I think Devin Haney showed a good job of, you know, being different of other than the, hold on, having some technical difficulties there. Showed a little difference other than in the Lomachenko fight. Just being there, just being in the middle of the ring, just being like, what's up? Like, what's up? Pow! I'm going to hit you again. Jab, move. The way he was evading, punching and moving. Body shots. I mean, it was I want to say it was around like round seven. He got kind of like near the corner. That's where I decided to remember shitting fights. When he got kind of towards the corner, the 1-2 he landed. I mean, the pow, pow. He hit him with a 1-2. Man, Regis was like he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to think. I mean, his face got pelted up. I called it though. I mean, when it was no chance. It was no chance for Regis Prograis to win that fight. Unless he did my keys to victory that I talked about in my episode leading up to this fight is that he was going to have to pressure him. He was going to have to cut off the ring. Tough to do, but he was going to have to, you know, hold, you know, punch. He was going to have to really make it dirty and then start bringing in some combinations, letting his hands go and see what he can get there. But it might would have got him counterpunched to death. So, I mean, like, I can see why he held back when not doing that. I mean, as a fighter, it's easy to say, you know, it's easy said than done. You go in there and you try it. You know what I'm saying? But to see how to try to beat a Devin Haney is you're going to have to really put some pressure. You're really going to have to make some things, like, rugged. You're going to have to get in there and hit him to the, you know, hit him in the arms, hit him in the chest. You know what I'm saying? Hit him in the body. You know, everything's not going to land clean, but you're going to have to make it dirty. Because if you sit there and let 360-some punches, and he lands you, outlands you 100-some punches to your, I think he landed like 30-some punches. That's just terrible. That is unbelievable amount of punches that I've ever seen in a boxing match at all. You mean to tell me that all that you could muster, and I'm sitting there reading it right here, 363 punches thrown, and that man only landed 36 of them. It was an easy night for Devin Haney. It was only to throw 300 punches, and he landed 129. Easy night. Then he had to fight hard. I think it was one point the commentary, it was like, man, they said he didn't even have to shower at the end of the fight. They said the man don't even have to shower at the end of the fight. I mean, for it to be a WBC champion, I just thought that he was going to be a little bit more competitive. You know, fuck the skill. Be more competitive. You know, show more heart. I mean, Ebony Bridges went out on her shield. And she was getting ping-ponged. I mean, but she was fighting. She threw punches every time. Even the ref broke him up. She came, she was throwing punches. You know, Regis, you know, that was a tough one. That was a tough to watch. You know what I'm saying? It was tough to sit there. It wasn't, you know, they was trying to compare it to Floyd versus Torragotti. I ain't giving it that. I won't give it that. I give it Spence, Lamont Peterson. I think for 12 rounds, you know, for 367 punches, he lands 129. That's 35% for Devin Haney. I mean, he did a good job. I mean, he did. I mean, it was an easy work. It was nothing. He tried things. He tried new things. He was trying. It was like a scrimmage. It was sparring, man. He was just trying some shit out. And it was on a big stage. He had his people there, his family there, friends there. Put on a show real quick. Let's put on. That's what Devin Haney did. He put on. I mean, the head movement, all that stuff. I mean, when I sit there and I think about that, I think about the early rounds of Montana Love versus Parle. I didn't really talk about that fight. But if you think about that, and you think about the the work that Paro ended up putting on at the end of that fight. Montana Love was putting on good head movement. He was you know, throwing a jab here and there. He was, you know, but he was short on power punches. The key thing I always say about slick style fighters, if you're short on your power punches, you're timid. You know what can come at you. You've seen what this guy can do. And I think looking at the end of the fight, we understand that, you know, Montana Love was like, that motherfucker punch hard. And whenever you hear somebody like Ness from the boxing voice be like, man, this guy he has sparred with Corey Stevenson. He has sparred with, you know, the likes of Devin Haney and all these guys. And you're like, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, he has. He's real good. You know what I'm saying? To be, you know, in that company, to spar with those names. And then here he comes right here and puts on a show later on in that fight, because it looked kind of bad there for a second. It looked kind of bad for the Australian fighter. He came out there, was, you know, just waiting. He was following Montana around. Montana, like I said, throwing a jab, good movement, a good head movement, evading punches. But he was short on power punches. If you're short on the power punches and you one of the slick style fighters, you're timid. You're being scared. I had to watch that from that kid from Newark do that. When you're doing that, you're scared, you're being timid. It's point blank period. That's what that represents. You don't want to step all the way in the kitchen. You want to peep in the kitchen. You want to open the door and look in there. You want to say, let me throw it. He ain't react. You can't do that. If you want to throw the shit. You don't really, you got to engage, man. You got to really put forth that to make that boxer think like, he's serious. You're a good enough fighter. I think Montana Love is an excellent fighter. Just can't get out of his own way. Just couldn't. But, you know, a good solid left hand got him knocked across the ring. Fight over. My ticket's completely done. Second ticket. Tried it again. But who would have thought Robisi would have lost? I should have, my lightweight joke, I should have went in and been serious and put, God, money line for Rafa. Davino. Can't believe he got that victory, man. Cannot believe that. Espinoza, man. I know he is. I mean, him and Yoshida. Him and Yoshida got to be feeling amazing. I mean, those are two big upsets right there, man. Two big upsets. Like I said, Devin Haney said, I'd be damned. You know, Regis Prograis just did not put his foot down on the pedal and just sat there and just got ping-ponged all night. And he got the victory. Robisi Ramirez is sitting there like, damn, I actually had a fight. I had a fight. I mean, he was sitting there on one knee. That ref was sitting there counting. I know he was like, man. Like, damn, this was my night. This was my night. This was my main event. Like, this was my main event. See, that's the thing about it, man. Like, this was his main event. That was Robisi's night. And I hate it for him. I hate it for him. But you got to love it. You got to love it for Rafa. I mean, now he's going to be a guy. I mean, it's going to, you know, be something. I hope he moves up. Hope he feels confident, you know, with this win. He wants to move up, because I want to see him knock off somebody like a Navarrete. I think him and Navarrete would be a banger. That would be a banger. That would be a banger, straight up. I think that one would be a good one. I think him and Leo Santa Cruz, is he all the way retired or something? Is he done fighting? What's going on? I'm looking at Espinosa. I'm trying to think of some good matchups. I'm like, man, him and Leo Santa Cruz, where is that? You know what I'm saying? I think that could happen. Will a 130 fight? Let Espinosa go ahead and move up and fight Leo. That'd be a banger. But you know, we got more fights. I think we got, you know, Andre Berto, Robert Guerrero. Showtime. Putting it on. David Morrell. We're going to see him. David Morrell's a good fighter. He's tough, but I think he can get exposed against the right competition. I think, he's right now being a champion at the weight class, is that being the big boys, 168, man. That's big time. It's big time. It's big time, 168. You know, like Andre said, you know, don't come up here, you get your ass whooped. Even he knows. He said it before it happened to him. They benefited and said, boy, you don't, you let me say that. Let me say that. You don't need to say nothing. Don't tell Terrence Crawford nothing. But see, that's the thing. Like Canelo, he's out of place, but he's fighting the right guys. He's picking off the right guys. He's making guys move up to fight him in this weight class. He ain't fighting Dave Benavidez. He's sitting there talking about he might be fighting, what's his name? Jesus, at 160. Yeah, he's the foreign guy. I can't think of his name. The foreign guy. He'll come to me. He'll 160 champ. But I'm like, if you move back down to 160, you might as well stay there. Because, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't just be moving up and down now in your 30s. If you now you're 168, you're in a rocking hard place. Because you're not going to go up and fight Bivol again. So I don't know what this whole story thing you were sitting there doing. You want a new belt for Christmas. Where are you getting a belt? Where are you getting a new belt at? Is he now talking about maybe moving up to that cruiserweight? Is he picking on that cruiserweight again? Or does he want Bivol again? Or does he want to move back down to 160? Because that's how you get a new belt. So we got Canelo talking about getting a new belt. You're not going after David Benavidez because that's not a real belt. That's an interim. David Benavidez beat the tarnation out of Demetrius Andrade, man. God dog it. Beat the tarnation out of him. But you gotta love a challenge. You gotta love that somebody's willing to step up, willing to move up. But man, Andre Berto, Robert Guerrero, are you serious? I'm gonna watch it. I'm definitely gonna watch it. But I just don't understand it. I don't understand it not one bit, but I'm definitely going to watch it. Definitely going to watch Andre Berto, Robert Guerrero 2. Because, you know, Andre Berto likes avenging losses. You know, he got to avenge one, and he wants to avenge this one. Okay. Showtime going out in style. They, you know. Deontay Wilder talking about he might lose. What are you talking about, man? Or he's saying he could lose. It's where you trying to sell the fight in a way to where you knowing that this is a setup, or not a setup, a tune-up for you to be fighting Anthony Joshua. Anthony Joshua's going to be fighting. You're going to go out there and you're going to do your thing. But hey, I kind of like this from Deontay Wilder, but it's like, come on, man. Like, I'm not sitting there thinking that you're like, give me a second here. I'm trying to find something. Hey, 38. Okay. He's 38 years old. Deontay's 38. So I can see himself as like I'm not invincible. Follow time is going to catch up to me. That's why, you know, with his career, the way it's gone, you know what I'm saying? The fights with Tyson Fury. That first one, man, I really wish that ref would have counted right. He'd have got that victory because let alone they was going to get a rematch. And if Tyson Fury won the next two fights, whatever. But he would have won the first one. He should have won the first one. But to not get a fight with Anthony Joshua, it is criminal that this fight ain't happening. But it could happen if they both could get a victory. If they could both get a victory. Coming up, what is it, December? On the 23rd, they both get a victory the same night. We can definitely end up seeing this fight on 2024, May, possibly what, May, July. So that's the big picture here, that for the remainder of Deontay Wilder's career should be getting a fight with Anthony Stinking Joshua, a guy who we don't look at as a, you know, an undisputed champ that can be, because losses doesn't define your career. You can end up being undisputed champion, and then boom, there you have it. You know, Fury, you know, could lose to Usyk, and then Usyk, you know, Fury, Josh can fight for the third time, or Fury can beat Usyk, and then he can finally get his fight with Fury and can beat Fury. Who knows? Who knows? But Joshua and Wilder is the best heavyweight fight inside the 10 years of Fury and Wilder. But Joshua and Wilder was that key marquee matchup, man. That was the two towers, the two tall knockout guys that was getting knockouts, heavyweight boxing. It was bringing back some 80s, early 90s vibes. And there, this fight still has a window. It's got a little like a side apartment. It's got a chance to happen. It needs to happen. Joe Parker, I don't respect highly enough that he could beat Wilder. But, you know, Wilder's not the best boxer. He's not the best, you know, he's somebody that when I think of it's like George Foreman, man. He's like, he's going to stay there until he knocks you out. Yeah, you might sit there and hit your little jab and one twos and all that stuff like that. You might do this and that, but he's going to get you out of there. Ask Ortiz. You know, ask all those other guys that sit there and thought like, oh, man, you know, I got Wilder. No. No, you don't. And that's what I think Joe Parker is going to face. I think Joe Parker is going to see that and be like, yeah, damn, he got me. He got me. And, you know, Anthony Joshua fought Joe Parker. He didn't stop him. So that'd be interesting to see if Wilder can stop Parker. You know, Joshua fought Robert Helaney. He is a former opponent of Wilder, and he stopped him with a good shot. But Otto Wallin, 26-1. I don't know. I mean, he's got 14 KOs. He's been stopped. He's never been stopped. He's got one loss. Lost to Tyson Fury. And it was one of those, I call it a terrible tune-up fight. I was like, this is terrible. He fought Otto Wallin right before he fought Deontay Wilder, the first fight. So that's the significance of that. So I mean, like, this is all in this heavyweight circle, this tree, this heavyweight group. You know, that's why I said this is still the biggest fight in the division. This is bigger than Usyk and Tyson Fury, if you ask me. If you can make Tyson Fury and Usyk, and they're fighting in February, you damn sure can make Wilder and Joshua a bigger fight. It could be a way bigger fight, man. Way bigger fight. I wholeheartedly believe that it definitely could. And I think it's coming down the pike. It's just got to be two successful wins on the 23rd for Wilder and Anthony Joshua. But speaking of February and Usyk and Tyson Fury, I think Tyson Fury can win this fight. I think taking a series and getting all the way to February, getting his right mind, he can win this fight. But Usyk can fight taller, bigger guys. People don't not think that he can deal with Tyson Fury. He dealt with Anthony Joshua. I feel like Anthony Joshua presents more of a punching power advantage. I think he presents something of a more athletic frame. I think Tyson Fury getting older is starting to not say he's falling off, but focus or how he may look at the sport. But those things can leave holes to where somebody like an Olympian like Usyk could definitely find some ways to find a victory and win rounds. I mean, boxing is a winning round sport. It's scoring points. It's not to go out there and be like, how can you make somebody look? You know, yeah, you can win with more significant shots. You can win rounds that way, but you got to put forth that and Fury's going to have to move. He's going to have to really keep him, you know, stagnant. He's going to have to keep Usyk look boring. He's going to have to jab, do that 1-2, you know, he's going to have to sit there and make it, you know, I hate to say it, but he's going to have to, you know, lay on him. He's going to have to do all those things, but land those shots first and not let Usyk put things together and have Fury looking like how Francis Ngannou had him. You know, Francis had Fury looking kind of, you know, like, whoa. Like, I didn't know he was throwing that. He's going to have to be first. You know, Usyk's going to have to sit there and be, you know, saying up in the grill of Tyson Fury and not let, you know, saying the champion, you know, dictate. That's the sport of boxing. It's, you know, it's ring generalship. You know, make this guy look like I don't know what to do, or he's following him to get hit. You know what I'm saying? You can't make Tyson Fury sit there and have the judges thinking like, well, he's doing the same old. He's you know, jabbing 1-2. He's keeping his distance. He's making sure Usyk is not coming in there and landing combinations. If you're not throwing combinations on a boxer, a pure boxer, then you're going to lose the fight. Edwin De Los Santos. If you're not throwing combinations at a boxer, you're going to lose. Manny Pacquiao. Canelo. Got more names. If you're not throwing combinations, I know the punches hurt, though. See, that's the thing. The counter punches hurt. You know, Lennox Lewis, those punches hurt. I dig it. But if you don't throw combinations against a boxer, a slick style guy, you're going to lose. Because they know how to make a fight look pretty to the judges. They do. Not always to the crowd. You know, you got your crowd going to be like, oh, the fight is boring. All they did was run. They got on the bike, da-da-da-da-da. But if the fighter is not getting in their face, if they're not Luis Castillo, if they're not being Orlando Salido, if they're not being a Paul Williams, if they're not being a Margarito, if they're not being that type of guy, like a Shane Mosley, who's going to throw the left hook, who's going to come up there and be inside and throw the body shots. If they're not being that type of guy, you're going to lose. Point blank, period. But now, I will say this before I get off here. It's almost hitting the hour. Is that Katie Taylor, she got her win again. She got her get back. I think she needs to go in and have a talk and get that Serrano fight kicking. We need that Serrano rematch. We need it. Katie Taylor, you got your rematch. I think Miss Serrano needs to get her get back. I think that fight would be very big. I think it would be dope. Jake Paul, get it together. I know you got your fight coming up against a pro boxer. I never heard of this guy ever in my life. But hey, you're keeping it quiet. You're not, you know, trying to make a whole big old trying to, you know, I'm thinking that you're taking this serious, so he must be pretty good. August Rush or something, whatever his fucking name is. I don't know. But we're going to see. But I think that Katie Taylor Serrano is the next big female fight that needs to happen. What do I know? Other than Alicia Baumgartner and Michaela Meyer. That rematch needs to happen. ASAP. That definitely needs to happen. A lot of shit talk between those two. So for the female future in women's boxing, I think those two matches needs to happen. Quick, fast, and hurry. I need a rematch and a rematch. Amanda Serrano, Katie Taylor, Alicia Baumgartner, Michaela Meyer. I need to go down. Because Michaela Meyer, she's having big fights. She's out here. She's doing big things. Alicia Baumgartner had to deal with some things. She's getting some shit back together. I'm hoping that she'll be able to get back in the ring. I'm sitting there trying to pick on her. I don't think what is accused or what is alleged, I don't believe it, man. I think she's a pure, clean fighter. I think that she's a fighter to get picked on because of her physique. She's a woman. But I mean she's talented, man. She's a boxer. She works hard. And she's a 10. And I do want to say this before I get off here. Is that I think it's funny that now that people are going to speak, they're going to be saying this. I already know it. It's going to be said on X. It's going to be said on little videos on TikTok. It's going to be said that Devin Haney is now going to be what? He's A-side. Is he A-side with Tank? Is that what they're going to be saying? He A-side with Tank? Oh boy, man. I'm telling you, man. It's gonna be crazy if them two get into some serious fight talks. If them two get into some serious fight talks, because Bill Haney said Tank's name in that post-fight conference, and I love it. So Sauce Talk is gonna end my episode by saying that who's gonna be on that side of the street when them Devin Haney Tank Davis fight talks come in motion. Y'all enjoy y'all Sunday. Enjoy football and all that good stuff. I'm out.